So I thought for a little bit we'd review where we are and where we want to move forward. So who can remember what was the scripture, the gospel, and the preaching last week? The first service, they were asleep. No one could tell. So anybody remember what was the gospel and the preaching last Sunday? That's right. Justice with Mary. You're exactly right. Good for you. So in the Post on Saturday's paper, they had an article about the Magnificat, about how the need for this particular text to be preached in the churches. So I'm glad that we're keeping up with what's supposed to take place with the Washington Post. I was thinking about Christmas Eve. I had lost my voice. The second service, 8 o'clock, I just thought, is this ever going to end? And but, you know, there's joy to be found in Christmas Eve. For the 5 o'clock, I think about we had the kids read, like Sage is here. Sage Byers, she read for us. We had what made my holiday was Ian did the children's message. And at the Christmas in the Trenches, or in the Trenches, Christmas in the Trenches. And have the kids up here, and one of the kids says, is it nonfiction? And just great. I just loved it. I loved it. And then, you know, we had kids play beforehand their instruments. And then Carter Prasaki played the trumpet. I was so impressed. He's going to get a letter from Pastor Dave. He was very good. And then for 11 o'clock, all the wonderful music, the instruments and everything. It was just a great day. Give thanks for Ian for kind of helping out to doing more things than expected, because I just I wanted to stay away from the bread and the juice so no one would say, oh, he's sick, I'm not going to come up and receive communion. So I kind of looked out for that. So let's see what we have. So tomorrow is New Year's Eve. We have worship here 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday is we're in what's called the 12 days of Christmas. So don't throw out your trees yet. And don't take your stuff down. And then we have next Sunday is called what? January 6th, Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany Sunday, it's the Sunday of light. Epiphany is Christ's manifestation into the world, that Christ brings light into our lives. It's the day that we celebrate the Magi coming to the scene of Christ's birth. So that'll be part of next week. And then the week after that is when we do, what do we do with these? What happens on that Sunday? Renewal of baptismal vows. So we've got Epiphany, and then after that is the renewal of our baptismal vows on that Sunday. And then when we move forward, who can remember, we kind of teased about it last year, what day was Easter last year? April 1. Remember, it was April Fool's Day. So I'm going to help you with when Easter is next year, so you can kind of keep it in your mind. So Christmas in the church, Christmas is called is determined by the sun. So it's always the 25th of December. How is Easter determined? It's lunar. It's a lunar holiday. And so I have a new word for you. I had to look it up myself. An ecclesiastical full moon. Say that with me. Ecclesiastical full moon. So what happens is there's this thing called the vernal equinox. Does anybody know the vernal equinox? It's when the sun is directly on the earth and half of the earth is light and half the earth is dark. It's about 50-50%. So when that happens, the first moon after that, the first full moon, the Sunday after that full moon is Easter. So the vernal equinox is going to happen, and then we're going to have a full moon, and then the next Sunday is going to be Easter. So Easter next year is April 21st. Say that with me. April 21st. It's easy to remember. The way I remember it is, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I take 1, 2, reverse it, April 21. Say it with me. April 21. So we kind of think about how our calendars work, our schedules. April 21 is Easter for next year. So that's your learning tool for today. All right, now we're going to move on. I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, and Ian and I were on the same wavelength. So I went to about 10, 12 websites this week, and I kind of looked at their top 10, and then I kind of merged them all together. So I thought we'd have a little fun and see if we can figure out what some of those might be. The first service got three of them. They got three, then they gave up. So let's see. I've got my little pen here. Let me find my pen. Here we are. All right. So who thinks they know what one of the top 10 New Year's resolutions for Americans might be? Okay. Lose weight. All right. That's good. Exercise is right. Lose weight and exercise are number one and number two. What's another? Nope, that did not make it. We need to make that, though. We need to get in those surveys. Sleep more is exactly right. They call it self-care now. All right, okay? Volunteer is correct. That is correct. To volunteer, to help others, to reach out. All right, can you think of another one? Save money is number three. You're good. All right, let's see. What else do we have? Anybody else think of one? No, but the closest one they have is cut down on cigarettes and drinking. So, so phone goes with it. Phone, cut out on drinking and smoking. All right, and other kinds of products. All right. Anything else? Okay, Nance. Yes. Yes, more time with family and new friends. So anybody, if you want a new friend, I'll be your friend. All right. What's another one, do you think? Job. That's right. To think about a new job if you're unhappy. All right. Let me tell you the other ones were to read more. To read. Come to the Doolin Library. They'll take care of you, right? Read more. The other one is a new hobby. A new hobby. And then the other is a new skill. So Ben and I were talking. If y'all want to learn to play the piano or organ, come see Ben. If you want to learn to sing, come to Ian. If you want to learn how to preach, come see me. So that's what it's all about. So for the resolution. So I was thinking this week as I was reading the Colossians scripture, I thought, what a great inspiration for Christian disciples for a New Year's resolution for 2019. And so I thought I'd review it with you a little bit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it once more and then kind of listen to it. And then we'll chat about it a little bit. It goes like this. Oh, and I wanted to tell you that when I have couples that come to me about marriage, a lot of times I will give them this as an example for them because I think it has good meaning of how to live with one another, to love one another, to love the in-laws, to love all parts of the family. But I don't go any further than this because after it, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands. So we don't go there. But let me read this for you once more and listen to the words. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. So just to reflect on some of those words. Compassion. To care for people for who they are, despite their situation. Generosity, going beyond what is expected. Humility, accepting mistakes and not being proud. Gentleness, quiet at peace with one another, simply showing courtesy to each other. Patience, not becoming frustrated or angry. Forbearance, to show tolerance and restraint with others. Forgiveness, to forgive. There is no resentment. And then he closes with, put on love. Love is that which binds all of these aspects in our lives together. And then he says these simple words, be thankful. How many times have we expressed thankfulness to God? How many times have we expressed thankfulness to our partner? How many times have we expressed thankfulness to our neighbor? How many times have we expressed thankfulness to the waiter or waitress who serves us, or the person at the fast food counter? Be thankful. I wanted to share with you, I found this week, it's called Beatitudes for Caregivers, and it really does pull all this together. And so I wanted to share with you today. It goes like this. Blessed are those who care and who are not afraid to show it. They will let people know they are loved. Blessed are those who are gentle and patient. They will help people to grow. Blessed are those who have the ability to listen. They will lighten many a burden. Blessed are those who know how and when to let go. They will have joy of seeing people find themselves. Blessed are those who provide a comforting and supportive presence. They will help those who suffer to bear the unbearable. Blessed are those who recognize the need to receive. They will be able to give. And blessed are those who give without hope of return. They will give God, people an experience of God. So all of us have our own New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking about what could be a New Year's resolution for our church. And I was reading a book this week, and it was about this guy named Howard Schultz. Does anybody know who Howard Schultz is? Starbucks. You're exactly right. He started Starbucks. And it's a great story about how Starbucks got started. Howard Schultz, in his going around in his everyday living, he noticed that Americans had two connections in their lives. The first connection was their home. The second connection was their job. And he thought that there was a connection that was missing. And so he thought up this aspect of a Starbucks place where people could gather from all the community and have coffee and sit down and be with one another. And look at what that dream has become. There are Starbucks everywhere, all over the world, fulfilling that missing connection that people had in their lives. A connection with people around a simple coffee and a scone or whatever it may be, sitting in this little bistro of a place. And you know, as I was reading this book, I thought, where was the church? Where was the church that people did not see the church as a place of connection? I'll share a story with you that happened. I have been sick most of the week. I stayed home, and I came down last night to get ready for today. It's typically what I do. I come down Saturdays, and I get ready for the next day, make sure everything is together. And I walked in the office, and there was a blinking light on my phone. And, you know, I said, do I answer this phone or not? And earlier in the week, Murphy's Funeral Home had called me. And I'm kind of the Methodist preacher on call for Murphy's Funeral Home. If someone comes to them and they want a Methodist preacher, then Pastor Dave is the one who gets the call. And I get a call about every third or fourth week. And so I got a call this past week. It was on Thursday. And the guy called me and he said, we have a family here. It's been a tragic accident, which I know what that means. And can I do the funeral? And I said, you know, I've been sick. I've just got to let this one go. I'm sorry. I just cannot do this funeral for you. And they said, and please tell the family to understand. So that I came in the office and that light was blinking, and it was like, do I answer this on Saturday night? Or do I just let it go until Monday morning? And I said, I'm going to answer that light. So I did a little code, answered it, and on the line was the father-in-law of this person who had taken his life. And he said, he said, "Pastor Dave, we understand you're sick, and I just want to thank you that you thought about us, and you know, thank you, and we're Methodists." And he hung up, and he left me his phone number. So I called him back, and I said, "You know, I'm sorry I can't help with your service. I've just been really ill." And I said, "But come to church tomorrow." I said, "We're right down the street from the funeral home. We have two services, 8:30 and 11, and come be with us on Sunday morning." And he said, "Well, you know, we've got a lot going on. We don't know if we'll make it," and click. This morning at 8:30, that family was here. You know, that family found a connection here. They found that this was a place of hope, a place of love, a place of peace for them in this dire circumstance in their life. And it was simply the connection of invitation. Come to Doolin Church, and we can help you. We'll take care of you. And so right away when they came in, I knew it was them. And I went up and I said, "Are you Ray?" And he said, "Are you Pastor Dave?" And, you know, we just had a great conversation. And I just think about that family that at Christmas in this horrible situation that we were able to offer them inspiration in their lives on a Sunday morning. And that's what it's all about, folks. So I hope that as we go into 2019, that we can do the invitation as well. When you know someone that has been devastated in their life, when someone has a joy, to invite them to come celebrate here at Doolin Church, where they can find love, where they can find trust, safety, where they can find Jesus Christ in their life. And that's what it's all about. That's what the Schultz guy found out. But we can do the same with the power of God and Jesus Christ in our lives. And friends, that's the good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.